Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first book of Samuel, the 14th chapter, the verses 24 through 46. 1 Samuel 14, verses 24 through 46. Let us first sing from Psalter 144, stanzas 1 through 6. O God, the God that saveth me, remove my guilty stains, and I will sing thy righteousness in grateful, joyous strains. All stanzas of Psalter 166, 144.
Before our scripture reading, we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Samuel 14, beginning with verse 24 to 46. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of mine enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not whether his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in an honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, "Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, 'Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day.' And the people were faint." Then said Jonathan, "My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more, if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines?" And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil, and took sheep and oxen and calves, and slew them on the ground. And the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, "Behold, the people sin against the Lord, in that they eat with the blood." And he said, "Ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day." And Saul said, "Disperse yourselves among the people, and say unto them, 'Bring me hither every man his ox, and every man his sheep, and slay them here and eat, and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood. And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night and slew them. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. And Saul said, Let us go down after the Philistines by night, and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, Do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Then said the priest, Let us draw near hither unto God. And Saul asked counsel of God, Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel? But he answered him not that day. And Saul said, Draw ye hither all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin hath been this day. For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. Then said he unto all Israel, Be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side. And the people said unto Saul, Do what seemeth good unto thee. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, Give a perfect lot. And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, Cast lots between me and Jonathan my son. And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, Tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die. And Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. And the people said unto Saul, Shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid. As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard of a corrupt king. He gave corrupt commands. He made a corrupt sentence. It was a corrupt judgment. And it had all be restored. It had to be corrected. It had to be prevented. But so it is so often in this world, in the day especially in which we live, where there is no fear of thee, where there is no regard to thy word and to all thy commandments. But thou art a righteous judge, and every king and every ruler in this world, every magistrate and every office bearer and every parent and every teacher, with that authority that is given unto him in this world, wherein he rules over others and wherein others are subjected unto them, shall appear before thee. And we shall give an account of that in which has been entrusted unto us, that we may not only cast our arrows and our blame upon others, but that we may be given to search diligently ourselves, because when we have not that true fear, then there is a corruption of everything, and we know not how to administer thy word, we know not how to administer justice, and we know not how to teach, to instruct. We know not how to be an office bearer, a parent, a teacher, a magistrate, a judge, a ruler. Oh, remember us. Lord, thou knowest our place in the midst of this world, that thou may give each one what is necessary in those duties that are laid upon us, which thou alone knowest. And could it please thee to grant that new heart that we cannot miss, that uprightness and that faithfulness, and that we may be seeking also to be washed and to be cleansed of every official duty wherein we are guilty and impure. Wilt thou look upon us also as those who are under authority, for we also live in this land, wherein there are those who are set over us, and thou dost say that we must pray for them. Lord, that thou may look upon them in thy mercy, in the nations in which we live. Oh, that thou may give a turning again in this land, and could it please thee a returning to thy holy word, and that it may be set once again in the courts of our land, and that thy holy commandments, they may be the foundation of every judgment, and that there may be justice and judgment, and that all hypocrisy and deceit and may be put away, and that thou may remember all those that are innocent, and that do have to suffer as those that are guilty. Wilt thou look upon them in the places where they may be? Remember those also who are in the prisons because of their own guilt. May thou give true repentance, that also the punishment may be used, may be sanctified, and that our land may be cleansed from sin, and that we may be turned again, because thou knowest that we make ourselves ripe for thy judgments. And when day after day the iniquity abounds and increases unto the heavens, so that we are no different than that first world which thou didst destroy with a flood. And though thou hast promised that seed time and harvest should continue unto the end, and that thou shouldst no more destroy every living thing with a flood, yet we can read in thy word that the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and that all things shall be purified one day, so that there shall be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, that thou may remember then each and every one of us, because we need then to be prepared to meet thee, our judge, who will judge in a righteous judgment, and who can answer one question of 1,000 to thee. No, then each one of us are coming in guilty, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. Oh, then show to us our great need, for him whom thou hast sent to pay that price upon that tree of Golgotha, that he may there take upon him the sin of his church, that he may bear it even unto the end, and that he may purchase a possession that they do not deserve, and that he may give it unto them by a free and sovereign grace freely. Or that there may be those who may be comforted thereby in the midst of us, who cannot see that way wherein they can appear before thee. O Lord, open unto us what thou hast accomplished. Wilt thou reveal thy Son in those in whom there is no way, that thou mayest show that he sits and he eats with publicans and with sinners, that those who are guilty may see that it was in a just way that thou art able to accept a sinful man, that price that is so fully paid, that judgment is done, and that thou receivest in mercy in the way of judgment, so that thy name is so honored and glorified thereby. Lord, then it is impossible that thou would cast away thy people, for thou hast spoken for them. Thou hast spoken on their account, and thou hast finished everything that was necessary. And now it is only that they still must be brought in. Then we beseech thee, Lord, for the power of thy Holy Spirit unto us and unto our dear children in a time wherein everything falls away and where we make ourselves ripe for thy judgments. And when the footsteps of thee may be heard, and when we can see that the signs of the times are pointing to thy second coming, oh, that we may learn to hasten for the sake of our life, that we also may be forgiven all of our many sins, that we may be washed and cleansed and made ready to stand before thee in white garments, with a righteousness which exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and of the Pharisees, the righteousness of thy only begotten Son, which is able to stand before thee, which is able to enter in, even clothed with a wedding garment, so that people may be given to sit even at the table of the marriage of the Lamb. O Lord, they shall glorify thee forever and forever. Thy name shall be magnified for a salvation that they could not do in their own strength. Do give young and old together a need, a desire, heartfelt longings. And while we are still in a day of grace, O send to that end thy servants over the length and breadth of the whole world. Give unto the instructors in our theological school week by week and what is necessary to give their instruction. And the students, thou knowest each and every one of them. Oh, that thou may look upon them in all their needs, and that thou may give them help from above, and that they may feel continually that thou hast sent them and that thou helpest them from day to day. Give them that instruction especially that they cannot miss by thy Holy Spirit. Remember their families also, for thou knowest how it is for each and every one of them, wives and children alike. Be with those that hope to travel unto us in this week. Watch over and protect them. And wilt thou give them what is that it may be a good time that may be together here with their families once more. And wilt thou look upon all thy truly sent servants, increase their numbers here below. And wilt thou bring them also to the ends of the earth, and that also upon the mission field thy word may have free course, and that many may be converted unto thee. Lord, that thou may look upon our own school, all those that labor therein, our teachers. Oh, that thou may give them a grace from above. Oh, that they may truly be given to fear thy name, and that the tenderness of that fear may be evident in the midst of the classrooms day by day, and that they could not countenance sin. That they may be given seriously to admonish and to warn our children and our young people. and that they may be given to walk in a way, and wherein our children become jealous of that life of Thy church. O Lord, that Thou may bless the instruction in that place out of Thy holy word, and that Thou may raise up youth and children to be fathers and mothers that may fear Thy name, and that in the midst of us we may have families that may bow their knees before Thee continually, and that we may receive office bearers also out of Thy hand, may it be out of Thy right hand. Wilt Thou look upon all those that have special needs, all those that are handicapped, all those that have difficulties of the mind, all those that suffer from addictions, those that are suffering weaknesses of the body, and be with all those that mourn. Look upon husbands and wives. Give true love for one another, and that it may not decrease, but that it may increase, and that Satan's devices to break down the family may be put to shame. Help parents in the instruction of their children. Give obedience of children unto their parents in the true fear of Thy name. Lord, look upon us also as a consistory when we hope to meet this week. Wilt Thou supply for us from above when we ourselves are full of foolishness? Oh, then Thou sayest, without me ye can do nothing. Fill us then with the wisdom of God, that we may receive that wisdom to be wise as serpents and to be harmless as doves. May Thou bless also the labors that we do perform in the house visitations week by week. Oh, that Thou may give, that there may be good conversations also in our families. That there may be the speaking about Thee and of Thy holy word, that there may yet be possibly some questions from our young people, and that there may be an earnest seeking of Thee. O Lord, Thou sayest, we can sing it often in Thy holy word, the sower bearing precious seed, he may weep as in his toil he grieves. But he shall come again with joy, bringing his sheaves with him. O Lord, that is our desire, and that also the labors of our hands in the midst of our flock may be for the bringing forth of those sheaves, that in the harvest time that it may be evident that Thou hast used the labors of our hands for the instruction and for the conversion of Thy church. O Lord, help us then also in this day, and continually strengthen us that we may do all our labors once again. Wilt Thou strengthen us for this afternoon hour, that we may be enabled with faithfulness and diligence and clarity to bring this portion of Thy word. And wilt Thou grant us instruction, even as our fathers have handed it down unto us out of Thy truth. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 367, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Gracious Lord, remember David, how he made Thy house his care, how he vowed to seek no pleasure till Thy house he should prepare. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School. We announce the consistory hopes to meet this Wednesday evening, October the 8th at 7:30 p.m. Visitors are welcome after 8:30. Psalter 367, stanzas 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you.
and Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. That was, congregation, a covenant, a blessed covenant between two men in this world. Then there was love between these two men. Why? That was based in grace. That was based upon the fear of the Lord, that they may experience something of the unity of God's true church. And thus, they have also made a covenant together, David and Jonathan. And David, he is asked to swear to Jonathan, what? And thou shalt not only while I live show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. Grace, congregation, makes a person humble. There was a time that Jonathan thought that he would be king. That was natural because Jonathan, boys and girls, you know, he was the son of the king. And then it was very common in the other nations, of course, that the king's son, he would become the future king. But then there came a time that Jonathan came to realize that he would never be king. No, that his friend, his best friend, that is David, he would be the king. And Jonathan, what does that do to him? Oh, Jonathan is not envious of David. No, Jonathan will give that place to David. He desires to give it to David because there was true love that was living in his heart. That is grace. That is humility. We do not find that in Jonathan's father. No, he was not even to the end able to give this over. He thought he tried, but in the end, then it is evident that he was not able. That oath that Jonathan asked David to swear was so very important to him. Why? Because many of the nations in that time, when another person would become king, and then all the family of that former king would be slain. And Jonathan, and not only Jonathan, but we can read that Saul also, he is asking David to swear to him, even when he himself is trying to kill David. But Jonathan is asking David that he will swear unto him, that he will not cut off his posterity. And that was so important to him, and that oath that David would swear, that was so important to Jonathan because he knew that David was a God-fearing man. Thus, then there was something in David which made that oath so sure unto Jonathan, that is not in everyone, but how that David would view that oath gave comfort and assurance to his friend. This, therefore, was a very proper oath. Last time, that we have heard that we may not take the name of the Lord in vain. But that does not mean that we are not allowed to swear at all. Because the Lord, He does sometimes require this also of us. That we wish to consider this afternoon with the Lord's help out of Lord's Day 37, questions 101 and 102. Question 101. May we then swear religiously by the name of God? Answer, yes. Either when the magistrates demanded of the subjects, or when necessity requires us thereby to confirm fidelity and truth to the glory of God and the safety of our neighbor, for such an oath is founded on God's word and therefore was justly used by the saints both in the Old and New Testament. Question 102. May we also swear by saints or any other creatures? Answer, no. For a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. So far, our Lord's Day, which speaks of the proper swearing of an oath. First, when we may or must swear an oath, and second, by whom we may or must swear an oath. The proper swearing of an oath, when and by whom. May we then swear religiously by the name of God. Why do our fathers ask this question in our Heidelberg Catechism? That is for the same reason that we see the creeds, as we can read the Apostles' Creed, but also the other creeds as the Nicene Creed, as they are developing over time, because errors are being brought in, and our fathers, they are, as those errors are coming forth, standing against those errors. And so it is now also with this question and answer. It is because there are those that are teaching that there is no time and that we may ever swear an oath. Thus we think about the Anabaptists and those who proceed from the Anabaptists as the Mennonites and the Amish peoples, and the Essenes that were among the Jews. Why do they say this? You say that is not according to the word of God. But they also have their foundation supposedly in the word of God. Because we read how the Apostle James is speaking, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Then they are pointing also to the words of the Lord Jesus himself in Matthew 5. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Thus they say, the Lord Jesus says that we may not swear at all. And above all things, my brethren, swear not. However, congregation, if this were to mean that a man may never make an oath, that means that God's word contradicts itself. And that is impossible. Thus, the Lord Jesus and the Apostle James, they are speaking about light oaths. That is, to use an oath or to use the name of God in the form of an oath as we are speaking in our everyday language, that we are doing it, young people, in an unnecessary way, that we are doing it in a vain way, and that with everything that we say, then we must try to back it up with an oath, with using the name of the Lord. But that is to use the name of the Lord in vain. Thus the Lord Jesus says, no, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Thus, when you will say every time the truth, young people, children, and your friends will know you as a person who is speaking the truth, then you don't need to add anything to your words. But when you say yes, they will know that it is yes. And when you say no, then they will know that for sure it is no. Because it is very clear from the Bible that there are times when oaths may be and also must be used in a right way. When? Our fathers say, either when the magistrates demand it of the subjects, or when necessity requires us thereby to confirm fidelity and truth to the glory of God and the safety of our neighbor. Thus, our fathers are speaking as the word of God is speaking, that this is permissible and sometimes necessary only in the most important of circumstances. Thus, when we are brought, for example, in a court of justice, and when a magistrate is demanding it, so, for example, when a person is sworn into office in this world, then he is also taking an oath. It is a wonder if that is still happening, because we live in a world that everything is so fast declining that it would be no wonder if that oath, in which it has been sworn for so many years in the name of God, would soon not be required to be sworn anymore. But when we have become a citizen many years ago of this country, and then we also had to swear an oath. And when persons will get married, then they also swear an oath. And when we are brought before a judge, because our fathers say that there are times when necessity requires us to confirm fidelity and truth, that we are speaking the truth, and that we are confirming that truth. Also, sometimes when it is necessary before a court of law. Why is that necessary? That man must swear an oath, that he first must say that he is before God going to speak the truth and all of the truth and nothing but the truth. Why? Because man is a liar. That is what we have become through the fall. And we know that when the Lord Jesus was adjured by Pilate, that he also has not been silent. But in that moment, he has spoken under the oath of God. Our fathers speak also about the safety of others. And we think, children, about that young king, Joash. And then Jehoiada, he had hid him in that prison. That was a very dangerous thing, you understand that. And if that queen, if she had known what he was doing, then you can be sure that all of them had been slain. And so before that king is letting that known unto those who are going to stand around him, then this Jehoiada, he is taking an oath of these men that they, for the safety of that child, for the safety of everyone, and that they are swearing before the Lord that they are going to be standing by this child. For such an oath is founded on the word of God. That is not only in a public way, but that is also in a private way. We can read that the part of the civil laws also that the Lord has given to Israel have required this oath. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. Thus, the Lord himself is requiring that oath of that people that they swear, and therefore certainly there are times when that oath that is lawful. Paul, he writes to the Hebrews that an oath for confirmation is the end of all strife. And sometimes such an oath, when we do not know anything of the circumstances, then such an oath before God is necessary that strife may come to an end. For such an oath is founded on God's word, therefore was justly used by the saints both in the Old and in the New Testament. Abraham, when he would send Eliezer to seek a wife for Isaac, and then he says to him that he must put his hand under his thigh, then Eliezer must swear to him, by the God of the heavens and by the God of the earth. We can read that Isaac himself and Abimelech, that they have sworn one to another. And we can read that when Jacob left Laban and they are meeting together there, when Laban has come after him to bring him back, but the Lord, he is protecting Jacob. Then they are making a covenant. And then we read that also Jacob, he is swearing by the fear of his father Isaac. Rahab would not let the spies go until she had received from them an oath. Can you understand that? Is that something then that has passed away with the ceremonies that was belong to the Old Testament but not unto the New Testament? The Anabaptists say that it has. But congregation, this is part of that third commandment. It is not part of the civil laws. It is not part of the ceremonial law, but it is actually part of that moral law that continues even until this day. And so we can see that was also made use of by times even in the New Testament, because the Apostle Paul, he wrote letters unto the churches that he could not be with at all times. And then we know that there were wolves that came in among the flock. Oh, how serious that was for that church of God. But they said, of course, that they had the truth and spoke the truth. And then we find time and again that Paul, he is calling God for his witness. That Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, and I lie not. That he says, I call God, that he may be a record upon my soul, that he may testify of the truth, and that it may be believed in and among congregations which were so dependent upon those words of Paul Christ himself. He has often confirmed his own doctrine by the use of that oath, when he would say in that form, verily, verily, I say unto you. Thus, yes, privately, also publicly, but they may not be used lightly. And we see in our second thought that they also have to be sworn properly. May we also swear by saints or any other creature? No. For a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. Thus our fathers, they speak also about the manner in which that oath must may be sworn. That is, in whose name? Not in the name of an angel, not in the name of any man, but only in the name of God. Thou shalt fear, Moses writes, the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. To swear by the name of God is an acknowledgement of God. What does that acknowledge in God? That acknowledges, congregation, the knowledge of God. It is a comfort to a righteous man, and it is at the same time a great terror to a liar when an appeal may be made to the all-knowing God, who is omniscient and who knows our heart. That is actually the foundation of the lie detector test, which is used in this world. Because it is the conscience that is speaking. And that test that is not effective only to those who profess to believe in God, but that test that is effective also with those who profess that there is no God, who profess that they are accountable to no one, and that no one knows what is in their mind, what is in their heart. No one knows the truth. That is what they say, but it is not what they believe. Otherwise, that test, that would never work. The 2.5 tribes, we can read that they built an altar on the other side of Jordan. We read that they were accused. Thus their brethren on the other side, they say, you are leaving the worship of the Lord. They came against them with an army, and they had to defend themselves. In their defense, we can read how that they appealed to an all-knowing God. The Lord God of gods. The Lord God of gods, He knoweth. And Israel, He shall know if it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord. Save us not this day. Thus, it is an appeal to the knowledge of God, the omniscience of God, that He knows everything, that He knows all the motives and the secret intentions that are living in our heart. And then we appeal to God in such a way that is an honor to God. It is also to acknowledge the power of God. That God, He not only knows, but He is also able to make it known. He has the power to reveal unto us and unto everyone, whether we are speaking the truth or whether we are speaking a lie, He has the power to punish us. What do they say? Save us not this day. Let not the Lord save us. Let the Lord punish us. Ruth, she said, God do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. That is to actually call a curse down upon ourselves. If that we are not telling the truth in the sight of that omniscient God, whether we say that in an outward way, or it is at least an implied thing, when we swear an oath, we do not even need to say it, but we say with that oath that the Lord, He may punish me if I am lying. That is why it is sometimes called the oath of cursing. Thus, to swear by the name of God, that is to acknowledge His omniscience. To swear by the name of God, that is to acknowledge His power. To swear by the name of God is also to acknowledge His justice. That God is a just judge. Not as the judges, many judges of this world, but God is a judge who will, either now or sometime in the future, He will punish the evildoer. Thus we say that is an acknowledgement of God. And what are we doing when we are swearing by a name other than that name of God? Then we give that honor that is due to God only, we give that honor unto that person or unto that being, unto that angel in whose name we are swearing. Thus, we are attributing the attributes of God to one of His creatures. That is, congregation, an offense. That is an offense unto God, because He receives not His honor. And we read that Herod, when he gave not honor unto the Lord, that he was eaten of worms. Thus, who has the knowledge, who has the power to execute judgment, to execute justice upon the secrets of men, upon those secrets that are hidden within his heart, that belongs to none other than God? That is why the Lord Jesus, he says, fear not them which kill the body, and have no more that they can do, but fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. By Isaiah, the Lord says that he that blesseth himself, that he must bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth must swear by that God of truth. Then we may not use other names instead of God. Then we may not say, I swear in the name of a higher power. I swear in the name of the Great One. I swear in the name of the ultimate being. No, because there are many people in this world that are willing to swear by the name of a higher power, but they do not want to worship the true and the living God. And we must acknowledge who it is that we worship, that it is the true and the living God alone by whom that we are swearing, that there is one God only. That is that God that is revealed in His own word. Thus it must be clear by whom that we are swearing. When we read of Jacob and Laban together, then we read they swear to one another. And we read of Laban that he says, the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us. What did Jacob do? He followed. So does he say the same? No, he says, and Jacob swear by the fear of his father Isaac. Why? Because Laban swear by idol gods. They were the gods that Abraham has served with Nahor and his father before that he was brought into that land of Canaan, before that he was converted. And Jacob, he makes it very plain and evident to Laban that he disagrees with him, that he will not swear by such idol gods, and therefore he swears by the fear of his father Isaac. We read of the Pharisees that they made distinctions about swearing by the gold of the temple or swearing by the temple. by swearing by the altar or swearing by the gift that is upon the altar, as if that not to use the name of God, that a man would be guiltless. But Christ, he says, there is no difference. Because when we mention that temple, or we mention the gold, or we mention the altar, or we mention the sacrifice, well, it is the temple of the Lord. That temple is God's house. Heaven is God's throne. Then we are swearing actually by God Himself. Then we cannot evade guilt in the omission of our duties, in the unfulfilling of our vows, because we have not used that name of the Lord. Sometimes men are sorry that they have made an oath. We can read that the tribes have made an oath together that they would never give any of their daughters unto the children, the sons of Benjamin, to wife because of their sin. And afterwards, of course, they were sorry because they were going to lose a tribe in Israel, and so they had to find another way. And thus, congregation, how careful that we have to be. Must we keep every oath then? There are some oaths that are sworn in ignorance. We know that a father in the Old Testament, he was able to disallow an oath. And yet, if an oath that is sworn in ignorance is not disallowed, then that oath had to be kept. Every oath then? Not every oath. Because there are some oaths that are sworn wickedly. They are wrong in the first place. When we think about Herod and what he has sworn unto that young girl. And then he says, I will give you the half of my kingdom. And she says, give me the head of John the Baptist. Then did Herod have to perform that oath? He did not. He did not, because his original oath that was wicked, he has now committed a double wickedness. He has added sin to sin. He needed to repent of his first wickedness. What a wonder that David was kept by the Lord from fulfilling that oath to slay Nabal and all his house. What a wonder that Saul was kept, as we read together, from fulfilling his oath concerning his own son. And the people had to keep him from it. Thus, an oath that is no light matter. An oath that must be sworn with reverence. An oath that must be sworn with an impression of the true and the living God. Let us sing. 428:8-10. Thy word is as a lamp unto my feet, a light upon my pathway unto heaven. I've sworn an oath which gladly I repeat, that I shall keep as always I have striven thy righteous judgments, holy and complete, when unto me thy helping grace is given. 8:10 of 428. congregation there are also oaths which are sworn by the church, and there are oaths which are sworn on behalf of the church or concerning the church. Those oaths that are sworn by the church, they are oaths which make a man so accountable unto God. But those oaths that are sworn on account of that church, for the sake of that church, they are oaths by which God's church is receiving a very blessed comfort. Thus, we also, as members of the church, we are accountable because of oaths that we also have sworn. And when we have stood here, and when we have made an oath, and when we did confession of faith, then we have sworn that we were going to continue steadfastly in this doctrine. We have sworn that we were going to conduct ourselves in this world without reproach, beyond reproach, so that no one would be able to say anything about our life. How long ago was it that we have sworn that oath? And are we now, can we say that our conduct that has been always beyond reproach? We have sworn that we were going to bring forth good works. We have sworn that we were going to submit ourselves to the correction, to the admonition, to the discipline of the church. What a responsibility. How many of us have made another oath here in the church when we have become married? How is that with that oath, husbands? When you vowed before God that you were going to love your wife. Not that you had love to her, but that you are going to love her, which is a verb, which is a thing that you do. It is actions. It is words that come out of the heart. That was your oath. And wives, that you are going to obey. That is also a verb. But that also comes out of a heart. And that we were going to be faithful to one another. That we were going to live holily. And that oath sworn before that omniscient God. Or what has come in between in these oaths. When you have stood here, parents, when we have made a promise, an oath, concerning our children, their instruction, according to that aforesaid doctrine, to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Brothers, our office, we have also stood, and we have made an oath, O congregation, who of us? We put in our hand, it is white as snow. And the Lord knows, because He is the omniscient God, all that responsibility. What can we do with it? What can we do with all our responsibility? We remain responsible. We remain accountable. Do you know what it is? It is guilt, isn't it? It is guilt. What will it be tomorrow? We'll be guilt again. Change it. Yeah. Change this. Oh, there is another comfort for God's people. That is not their oath, because that is guilt. Though it remains responsibility and accountability. But now there is another oath that is made, not by the church, that is made for the church. That has no shortcomings. That is unbreakable. Why? Because of the character of Him. And Paul, he says that God was willing to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel. Immutable, boys and girls. Unchangeable. Unchangeable. And He was willing to show how unchangeable that is. So willing that He swore an oath. That He swore an oath. And because He could swear by no greater, we read He swore by Himself. Thus He uses His own name. And now if He requires of us, because of the honor of His name, that every oath that is fulfilled, then congregation, what does He bind upon Himself? Do you see what the Lord does? Oh, the Lord, for that guilty people, unfathomable, for that guilty people, the Lord cannot lie, but because it is so difficult for that people to receive His yea, He swears. That is for their comfort. He swears to them by His own name. Oh, that name, the honor of that name, Moses understood it. Because he says, Lord, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Thus he knew that the Lord, He would take care of His own name. Naomi knew that too. Do you know what she said to Ruth? She said, the Lord will not be in rest. No, Boaz, the man, He will not be in rest until He have finished the thing this day. Why not? She says that was Boaz. That was a man of his word. And if Boaz has said it to you, my daughter, if Boaz has spoken it to you, then you may be sure that that man, he is not resting. Because by his own word, he has bound himself. And now she speaks also of that greater Boaz, who has in that stillness of eternity bound himself with an oath concerning his own name about that people. That he says, I will go for them and I will begin it. And I will not only begin it, but I will finish it. And he has finished that work because we read that he cried out on that tree, it is finished. And not only his testimony, but we have now the testimony of the Father in the resurrection of the dead. That it was finished. And that that price that was so completely paid. And that he has received him again unto himself because justice that cannot have it otherwise. But now what does he say? Or has he said, has he spoken concerning that church? Oh, that man. He shall not be in rest until, not that he has begun it, but until that he has finished it. That is now the safety of that people. That is their safety. That is not lying in their responsibility. That is their guilt. That is not lying in their oath. That is all shortcoming, but that is lying in Him. And it is sure all heaven and earth, He says, they shall pass away, but my word, they shall not pass away. There is a church that fears. What does the Lord Jesus say? Fear not, little flock. For it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Why do they fear? Oh, they fear because of all what is from their sight. Do you know what the bride said? I am black. And so they fear. And as time goes on, and it goes closer and closer to that time when they now have to appear before Him, then they see more and more and more what is from their own sight. And it becomes more and more impossible to die and to stand before God. But now this rest, all that is a rest in that oath of God. Sit still, my daughter. She said, sit still. And just wait for Him to perform that word that He has spoken unto you. Has He spoken it to you? He has spoken it in His word. I know. That comes to us, to you and me, yes. We need more than that. It needs to be applied. And when the Lord will give it in our own soul, then we shall know it. We may not know what it is, and yet we cannot forget it. O congregation, the rest. That may be in that true faith, in those moments that church, they may see something of that faithfulness of Him who has sworn, even the Father, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So that there is to the end of their life, to that last breath, every action, every word, every thought, every motive, that there is a priest. And in that priesthood, there is cleansing for all the sin of that people. O Church of God, the Lord open more and more. But we are from our own side. O the Lord open more and more of that treasure, of that resting place, for there is a rest that belongeth unto the people of God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bless Thy word. Forgive. What is sinful and amiss in all the oaths which we have also taken upon our lips. Oh, how many times have we taken those oaths upon us with so little realization of what that we were swearing before Thee. Forgive our many sins. Oh, take us for Thine own account. And could it please Thee to speak unto the soul of each and every one of us. Oh, that we may know what it is to be drawn out of nature's darkness, brought into Thy marvelous light, and to be given to see something of the brightness of that sun that shall shine to all eternity. Bring us safely home. Forgive all that was amiss this day, we may acknowledge Thee, that Thou hast given us the ability to bring Thy word, a little strength, O Lord. Receive our thanks. And grant us that true gratitude and supply for us further. Help each one this week in the labors of our hands, the mothers in their homes, the fathers in their places of labor. And may Thou Thyself grant us Thy blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422, stanzas 1 and 2. My mouth shall sing for aye, and Thy tender mercies, Lord, to every age will I Thy faithfulness record. And what follows, 1 and 2 of 422. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.